بسم الله إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله. طيب, we discussed about the various sources of fiqh, right? And we missed a lot of chapters. We're not going to jump to something else that is necessary to know. And that is how the ruling is given in the Qur'an and the Sunnah. What form or what fashion does it take? There are different ways that the ruling can come. Okay? So we finished the sources of fiqh. Now we're getting into how the ruling can come from the Qur'an and the Sunnah. Okay? So we're talking about basically word pairs now. Or not necessarily word pairs, but sentence pairs. It's either like this or like that. Either like this or like that. And we're going to talk about it from a number of different perspectives. Okay? The first thing that, the first and the most important one is, am. Number one. Am and khas. The first word pair definition. Am and khas. Okay? General and specific. Am and khas. Meaning general and specific. Okay? Am, ayn alif. Meem. Am, ayn, alif, meem. Am occurs when a certain word or phrase, right, comes in a, basically it has a large set of things that it applies to. So for example, Allah says in the Quran, every soul shall taste death. Kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut. This verse is considered am. Okay? This verse is considered am because it's general. It applies to a large amount of people, okay? Khas is the opposite of that. It's specific. It's something that is specific. Something that applies to a specific amount, a known amount of people. Okay? It has a characteristic that makes it a specific group of people. Okay? So for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that, وَالْعَصْرِ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. Is this am or khas? إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ. All the people are in loss. What makes it khas? The next verse. Except those that believe. So, the general ruling am is that all of mankind is in loss. The specific ruling comes except those that believe and do good deeds and exhort one another to truth and exhort one another to piety. So what is the point of am and khas? The point of am and khas is that there is no contradiction between the two. You can take both of them together and the am has its ruling and the khas has its ruling. Okay, so if I were to say everyone in this class is going to fail, is that am or khas? Khas. I say except those that memorize Kitab al-Tawheed in its entirety word for word, in Arabic. This phrase now makes it khas. Do you understand? Not am and khas, do you understand what I just said? Okay, that am means, for example, everyone is going to fail. This is am. Khas now makes you come with an exception or a certain group or a certain subset that will be excluded from that general rule. Now, where is this used, am and khas? Obviously, this used when there are two rulings in the Quran and Sunnah. Okay? One of them comes in an am form, one of them comes in a khas form. So the point is there's no contradiction between the two. You have to understand what is am and what is khas and you take both of them together. So, obviously, what I give you are very explicit examples. That all of mankind is in loss, except those that Allah immediately goes on and says, except those that believe. In some verses, Allah doesn't, you know, mention it immediately afterwards. Many times the Prophet ﷺ would mention what makes it khas. So for example, the Quran says that the male thief and the female thief, what should you do? Cut the hands off. This is in the Quran. Okay? This is am. Every single thief. If a person stole this cup of water, he's a thief. Okay? So every single thief, his hand is going to be cut off, according to the Quran. But now when you go to the Sunnah, you find that the Prophet ﷺ made this am, he made it khas. He said, only a thief who steals above a certain value. Okay? So there's got to be a certain minimum value. If he steals below it, if you steal a penny or two, that's not, your hand's not going to get cut off for that. There's a certain monetary value that the Prophet ﷺ gave. Below that, your hand is not cut off. Okay? Also, we know from you know, other things that if a person steals out of hunger, his hand is not cut off. Okay? A person steals out of hunger, he's hungry, he needs food to survive. He steals some food, his hand is not cut off. Okay? So this is an am verse, and things have made it khas. They have made it specific. Okay? So this is important, because if someone were to just read the Quran, right? And he doesn't go, the Quran, let's say, okay? And he doesn't go to the Sunnah, he'll take the am, and he'll forget the khas things that apply to it. So you understand the importance of khas. Without khas, then you would fall into error all the time, without taking both of these rulings. Okay? Is there any contradiction? That's the point. Is there any contradiction in am and khas? No. It is taken together. Okay? Let me see if I can find some better examples for you for am and khas. Okay? A very strong proof against the Quraniyun, yes, is this thing of am and khas. Okay? If he steals a cup, you take his hand off? It depends. But the point is that am is a general word. For example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَلِلَّهِ عَلَى النَّاسِ حِجُّ الْبَيْتِ, that upon mankind, it is obligatory upon mankind to perform pilgrimage to the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then Allah says that whoever is capable of doing so. Okay? So the general ruling, what is the am ruling? All of mankind must do hajj. Then Allah says, illa, or except those that, or man istata'a ilayhi sabila, those that are qualified, or those that are capable of doing it. Okay? In other words, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala first makes the verse am, that all of mankind must do hajj. Can you explain am and khas again? Tayyib, we'll re-explain am and khas again. But I'm sure the brothers and sisters that were present when we started would understand this, because it was very simple. I have a feeling that the person walked in late. This is why. Please show up on time. Am and khas. Am is a general, is a word that has, that applies to a general set of things. It applies to an unspecified quantity of things. Like I said in the Quran, Allah says, every soul shall taste death. This is am. No exceptions. Okay? This is an am verse. Khas means specified set. It's a small set. It's a specified set of things. It's not like am, which is general. It's a specified set. The word applies to a specific thing. Okay? What is the point of setting am and khas? Is that there's no contradiction between the two. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala might mention one ruling as in the am and one ruling as in the khas. Okay? And there is no contradiction between the two of them. Okay? The point is that Allah might say, for example, like the example I gave, every single thief cut his hand off. This is an am verse. Every thief that you find, cut his hand off. What makes it khas? You go to the sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ, and obviously the khas is found in the Quran or the sunnah, and you know, even like in common sense and human nature, this is also, you find things that are khas. For example, you don't cut off the hand of the thief that steals because he is hungry, he's starving to death. Okay? This is not found in the Quran or sunnah, but it's common sense. It's common sense. If a person steals to save his own life, I mean, he's literally starving, Okay? And he steals some food to eat, then obviously, even if he steals above the monetary value, then his hand is not going to be cut off. Okay? So the khas, there are a number of things that khas occurs, and we don't have to get to that. Point is that when you find a verse in the Quran or Sunnah, you have to be careful that there is nothing that makes this verse khas. You have to understand that there are certain exceptions also to this rule. Okay? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, for example, that all of mankind must do hajj. And then he says, those that can afford it. So if only you were to read the first verse and stop, all of mankind must do hajj, that means the Muslims, and the kafirs, and the poor, and the rich, and the healthy, and the sick, they all have to do hajj. But then Allah then says in another verse, مَنْ اِسْتَطَاعَ إِلَيْهِ السَّبِيلَ, those that are capable of going for hajj. So hajj is obligatory upon whom then? Only those that are capable, meaning financially and physically. And also that the path that they're going for hajj is a safe path. So the point is, you have to be careful. Every time you find a ruling in the Quran or in the sunnah, this might be an am ruling. Is there another ruling? Is there a khas ruling that specifies this am? Okay, so that you have to be careful not to be hasty when you find a ruling in the Quran Sunnah. Go to an alim, go to a student of knowledge, understand that ruling. Is there something that makes this ruling khas, or is it still am? Okay, if it's am, then it'll apply to everyone. If it's khas, then there's going to be a special set of people that it applies to. Is that clear? This is just the basic, bare backbone definition of am and khas. Obviously, there's a whole chapter in and of itself. Okay, the next word pair that we get to. The next word pair that we get to is mutlaq and muqayyad. Okay? Mutlaq and mutlaqo. Mim, taf, mim, ta, lam, qaf. Mutlaq and muqayyad is mim, qaf, ya, dal. Okay? Mim, qaf, ya, dal. Mutlaq and muqayyad. What do we mean by mutlaq and muqayyad? Mutlaq is like am in one sense, and it differs from am in another sense. It is like am in that it is unconditional. Literally, mutlaq means unconditional, unqualified. You say, for example, a man, mutlaq, unconditional, no adjectives added onto it. A man, a house, a slave, okay, a woman, a car. This is mutlaq, unconditional. Okay, muqayyad is the opposite. You add some conditions onto it. A green car, okay, a tall man, okay, a Muslim slave. You've added on some conditions now, muqayyad. Okay, now sometimes the verse in the ruling occurs mutlaq and sometimes it occurs muqayyad. So you have to take both of them into account and then put the ruling out. For example, do you understand what mutlaq and muqayyad is? What's the difference in mutlaq and amto? Who can tell me this difference? I haven't told you, so you would know it actually. The difference between mutlaq and am, mutlaq is like a house, right? But the difference between mutlaq and am is that am applies to everything in its set at the same time. For example, Allah says, all souls shall taste death. This applies to every single soul. Mutlaq, on the other hand, only applies to one. So for example, Allah says in the Quran, if you do this and this, free a slave. Is this mutlaq or am? Mutlaq. Why? Only applies to one. But it's unspecified. Any slave you find, free him. Male, female, child, adult, whatever. It's mutlaq, unconditional. Okay? So mutlaq and am are similar in that they have a large set of things they apply to. But the difference is that am applies to everything in its set, in its meaning simultaneously. Whereas mutlaq applies to only one member of that set. So for example, Allah says in the Quran, those that commit zihar with their wives, zihar was a pagan custom of Jahiliyyah, then they must free one slave before they return to their wives. As a penalty for this custom, okay, as a penalty, they must free one slave before they touch their wives, meaning sexually. Okay, is this mutlaq or is it am? Who says it's am? Why do you say it's am? Okay, it's a general statement. Okay, that's good. Do you have to free all the slaves in the world or one slave? One. So it's mutlaq then. It's not am. So it's am for every man that did it, but for the slave to be freed, it's mutlaq. The condition for the slave is mutlaq. Okay? However, on the other hand, Allah says if you kill a believer unintentionally, manslaughter, then you must free a believing slave. Believing slave. Muqayyad. Muqayyad. You must free a believing slave. Now there is a condition attached to it. Okay? So mutlaq means unconditional. Free a slave. Muqayyad means, doesn't mean believing slave. Muqayyad means conditions to attach to it. Okay? Now, the question arises, this is where the whole, why we're studying this. Do we have to take the muqayyad into account when it comes to the mutlaq ruling? Okay, for example, in the example that we gave, the penalty for zihar was what? In the Quran, this is in the Quran. No, one slave. The penalty for manslaughter is? One believing slave. Okay, so for zihar, Allah doesn't mention he has to be believing. For manslaughter, He mentions he has to be believing. So do we take both of these ayahs into account and we say that the muqayyad, since it clarified the mutlaq, we then carry the muqayyad upon the mutlaq and we say that even for zihar, you need to free a believing slave. Do we do this or not? The majority said yes. And the Hanafis said no. Okay? But this is the point. We don't care about this. We just want you to understand the concept. This is like the bare backbones of usul al-fiqh. Okay? We just want you to understand the concept of what mutlaq is and what muqayyad is. Mutlaq means an unconditional generality, unspecified generality that applies to only one member of its set. Whereas am is an unspecified generality that applies to all of the members of its set simultaneously. Okay? So the point is that mutlaq and muqayyad are pairs that you use again to derive laws. Okay? Now we get to another word pair. Again, we're going very quickly, very briefly over this, just so that you understand when you read. And by the way, you will read this in the books of fiqh. When you go to the books of fiqh, they will mention this hadith is mutlaq, and this hadith is muqayyad, this hadith is am, this verse is khas. So now you understand what they're talking about. We just want you to understand what they're talking about. Okay, and then we only have 20 minutes left or 40 minutes left to do a sort of fiqh. We just want you to understand what these terms are, give some examples, and then move on. Okay, the other thing that we talk about, another thing we talk about is mantuq and mafhum. Mantuq. Mantuq and mafhum. Mantuq, meem, noon, ta, waw, qaf. Mantuq and mafhum. Meem, fa, ha, waw, meem. Mafhum. Okay? Now, mantuq and mafhum. Mantuq basically means it is apparent or explicitly mentioned in the text. Okay? It's explicitly mentioned in the text. So, for example, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, whoever returns from Hajj, then let him fast 7 days if he did not give the penalty that he was supposed to for Hajj. Basically, for a special class of people, whoever returns, let him fast 7 days. So the fiqh is that he has to fast 7 days, and what did you use to derive that fiqh? The mamtuq of the verse. The clear apparent meanings of the verse. As explicitly mentioned. You don't need to think about the verse, it's clear. Okay? The opposite of that is mafhum. It's an understanding of the verse. It's not clear in the verse, but it's an opposite understanding of the verse. It's implied, if you like. It's an opposite implication of the verse. Let me give you an example so you understand. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, give women their dowers freely. Give them their dowers. The dowry that you give for your marriage, okay? And if they wish to return some of it to you, freely without forcing them, then eat of what they return to you. You understand what the verse is saying? Give women their dowries. When you marry them, give them their mahar. Okay? If they want to give that back to you, all of it or some of it, freely without being forced, out of their own free will, then you're allowed to take it back from them. You understand the verse? Everyone understands the verse. Simple, right? Okay, what is the mantuq of the verse? Who can tell me? The mantuq, the clear, explicit thing. You have to give them a dowry, and if they give it back to you, you can take it back. What is the mafhum? No. No. Mafhum is the opposite. Is the opposite of the verse. The mafhum of... Okay, understand this now. The mafhum of the verse is, if the women don't give you the dowries, you can't take it. Look at the verse again. The verse says, give women their dowries, okay? If they want to give it back to you, freely, of their own free will, then take it back and eat it. This is what the verse says. Suppose the women don't want to give it back to you, or they're forced to give it back. Should you eat it then? No. Does the verse say so explicitly? No. But it's implied. It's the opposite understanding of the verse. You understand what mafhum means now? Okay? For example, let me give you another example. Allah says in the Quran, don't say uff to your parents. Everyone knows the verse. Don't even say uff. The lowest form of anything that you can do, don't say uff to them. Someone reads this verse, he goes, I can beat my parents. Because the Quran told me, don't say uff. He didn't say not to beat them. What do we respond to him? This is the mafhum of the verse. If you're prohibited from even saying uff to them, obviously you're prohibited from being rude to them, from being obnoxious and physically harming them.